Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Now, don't dance too much in your car with this fog out there. Like, we're in some sort of horror movie right now in the Mile High City. It's Cecil Lammy sitting in for Mike Evans with the fantastic Mark Schlereth, as always. Dude, you got to start off Monday. I just got off vacation. You start off with Wham Stink, you know you're doing something right.
That's right. Absolutely. You got to love a little Wham. Gets you going in the morning, especially, as you mentioned, on a foggy day in Denver, Colorado. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing ever wrong with that. Plus, you know, I'm out in Los Angeles right now. My wife told me how hard it was raining yesterday. It rained all day yesterday, essentially.
Right.
Which was awesome.
For your lawn. Wait till the landscaping and you can get done when you get home.
Oh, my gosh. And you know, I toiled before I left on Thursday. So it was ready to roll. I'm good.
We're good to go, and you're used to the fog we have here in Denver right now because of the smog you're dealing with in L.A. And the Rockies are used to usually having some sort of swoon after the All-Star break. It just seems like, in observing the Rockies and being a fan of the Rockies stink, that almost every year you can expect, okay, after the All-Star break, this team is going to falter. This team is going to slide. They're 51-45. They're only two games back of the division-leading Dodgers. And now we get this break. They're the hottest team in baseball, Stink. How in the world do they keep up the momentum that they earned and they gained before this break?
Yeah, you know, they were eight games down,
right,
going into the toughest stretch of the season. And I always, you know, I mean, I should stop because, you know, of what my son has done for a living for 11 years, he's been a professional baseball player. You know, 4 years in the big leagues or four seasons in the big leagues. So I have a pretty decent idea of how the whole game works. But, see, so I can never get away from kind of the football mentality that I carry. And I know there's a lot of people that would say, oh, you know, this is why it's a marathon and you shouldn't talk about baseball and all this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is they shook things up. They were eight games down in their toughest stretch, two three-game sets at San Francisco, one at San Francisco, one at home, one three-game stretch against the Dodgers, two three-game stretches against the Seattle Mariners, who were a, you know, second-place team in their division and a really good team and a great story this year, and then a three-game set against Arizona. And to be two down of the division lead after that, I mean, that's a gauntlet they went through. And it's not like they didn't make some moves. You know, I still point to Nolan Arenado basically putting everybody on blast, heightening the awareness. Obviously, Trevor Story has been an incredible story to follow, to watch the way he has matured as a baseball player, the way he has tightened up his plate appearances at the dish, how he's not striking out like he used to. It's an amazing story. They sent down Brian Shaw. They sent down, I saw John Gray pitch in a Triple A game. You know, they made some moves to shake some things up, and so far it seems to be paying off. And when you're hot like that, like, you never want to, you know, you don't want to stop playing when you're hot like that. It's like when you're hot during going into a bye week. You're thankful for the bye week, but you don't want to lose the momentum. You know what really, Cecil, has always scared you when you had a first round bye in the playoffs? Because you're hot, you're playing great, you get that first round bye, and then you got to sit. And you practice and you do all those things, but there's this rhythm to playing. There's this rhythm about it. And when you have to sit, man, sometimes it's hard to regain that momentum, regain that rhythm, especially on the offensive side. When things are clicking for you offensively and you're getting good at bats and you're getting, you know, on base and you're driving in runners in scoring position, and then all of a sudden that's taken away from you. Those are the hard things to overcome.
Well, and this is why we love sports. I mean, really, because if you turn around, what, a couple of weeks ago, Stink, when Evans was breaking his arm, patting himself on the back, talking about, you know, Arenado, and look at him now, I just want to be
gosh
here.
Gosh darn terrific.
And get rid of this, you know, you can trade this guy before you lose him and get nothing. Like, that was just a couple of weeks ago. And now we see the Rockies as, you know, this rising star. Hopefully they can keep that going.
And, you know, I mean, again, it's not like you're going to get, you know, 6-7 strong from your starters every single night. They have not in, they still have their bullpen issues. Oberg was really good yesterday. They still have their pen issues. Which a lot of teams have their pin issues. So, you know, I'm not going to just single the Rockies out, but they still have some issues there. But I tell you what, they've been pretty, amazing. I'm really interested to see if they pull the trigger, if they do anything or if they stand pat. Cause that was one of Nolan Arenado's criticisms. You know, hey, the Dodgers are going to do something. He said the Diamondbacks will do something. San Francisco will do something.
Right.
You know, our history is to stand pat. And, you know, so it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting before the trade deadline to see if the Rockies actually make a move.
They need to tread lightly during that trade deadline, and they need to actually do something. And I'm glad that they've responded to Arenado, not only the team, but the players around him, because that's the guy that you need to follow. He's your leader, and having other players step up, certainly Trevor Story playing well. This is all positive news. Now, the worry, is it the life of a baseball fan just to sit around and be worried all the time? Because there's so many games. Is that it? Because now you're sitting around worried they're going to lose their momentum.
Yeah. I think the big time baseball fans, I tend to operate that way, you know, which is why I probably couldn't be a baseball player. I just get too damn nervous.
Nothing to see here. I'm fine. I'm fine. Everything's good.
Yeah. That's just how I am. So it's really hard. Again, you know the value of football games, right? You lose one, man, it can completely change your season. You know, it can change your playoff seeding. It can change everything. And so there's this dramatic difference between when you play 16 of them, man, every one of them is really important. And, you know, you play 162 and you're like, I still have a tough time going, okay, two out of three. We're just trying to win two out of three. And it's hard to do that. And if you get a sweep every now and again, like they did with the Mariners, I mean, that's great.
Well, and it'd be great if, they could continue this after the All-Star break. Of course, your All-Star coverage we'll have for you right here on The Fan, and we'll be talking about it as things happen, home run derby, etc. Speaking of things happening, Canton, Ohio, are you going to get it right now? Is Pat Bowlen going to get voted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? He's up for a subcommittee vote next month. We discuss what's going on there next. Everyone agrees with Mike Kliss when they say enough is enough. The wait must end. Pat Bowlen is up for subcommittee vote next month for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. In fact, Dick Ebersol, former NBC Sports chairman, told Kliss, quote, "There are very few people in the modern history of the four major sports who were winners as Mr. B was. It's incalculable, the winning he has accomplished. I mean, it's hard to believe, and the fact that he maintained it decade after decade after decade is pretty awesome." Stink, it would have been pretty awesome if Pat Bowlen was in the Hall of Fame immediately, as soon as he possibly could be. We've waited, and now it's time. It's past time to get Pat Bowlen into the Hall of Fame, finally.
It's been a long time coming. And you think about the success that he's had as a franchise owner. Total wins, 348 total wins, 34 seasons, average 10.2 wins per season, a 602 winning percentage, which blows away everybody, anybody that you put him against. It just blows the other owners away that have been in the game for that long. You know, Al Davis, 40 years, 348 wins, averaged 8.7 a year. You know, Ralph Wilson averaged 7.2 a year, 390. Bud Adams from Houston and Tennessee, 409 wins, averaged 7.6 a year. So that in and of itself is like incredible. But what he has done, like taking over the TV package in the 90s, and took it from old school football, the way it was run, to the new school. 1.3 billion in revenues in 1990, 13.2 billion in 2016. Most of it is attributed to the television package. And it's funny, I had the pleasure of, you know, moving over from ESPN to Fox last year. And in a couple of weeks, I'll go out of town and we'll do our football, you know, our kind of welcome to the season. Let's get rolling. And, you know, it's dinners and it's a party and it's all day just sitting in meetings going over the new rules and a bunch of stuff. And it's a good time. But, David Hill spoke to us. And David Hill, for those who don't know who David Hill is, he's really the guy that took over at Fox Sports and put the NFL package together. And when Pat and Jerry Jones put this whole thing together, Fox was only in about 60% of American homes. And the other owners were just like, absolutely not. We're not going to go down that road. Fox is a fledgling station. They're like, no, it's a younger demographic. Young people are watching it. This is the direction we need to go. When we get the NFL on Fox, that Fox is going to infiltrate every household. And like to have the vision to kind of see what was going on. And David Hill is like explaining the presence of Pat Bowlen, the presence of Jerry Jones, because they were a partner in this. And, you know, he explained it as Pat had the business acumen, and Jerry Jones was really the muscle guy. You know, he was the cheerleader guy, so he was a little bit more out in front. But Pat was really the guy behind the scenes putting it all together. And the way this league has grown, the revenues that this league has seen, and the, you know, unbridled passion and popularity that this sport has, much of it can be attributed to Mr. Bowlen and his influence and his vision for the TV packages.
Yeah, and league-wide, I've always said Pete Rozelle had a dream for this league and what the NFL could be, and we're vastly beyond that. We're beyond that vision of Pete mm-hmm. Rozelle, largely due to the work and the efforts of guys and primarily leading the charge there, Mr. Bowlen.
Yeah, there is no question that he had an incredible impact. And, you know, I think it'll be done. I think it's easier. Well, it was disappointing, you know, to many of us to see Jerry get in and not Pat last year. But I think, you know, it's always easier to see the guy that's out front, you know, and it's easier to see, you know, the guy who's got the, who, you know, thrives in the limelight and the spotlight, and he's always been kind of out front. And like I said, as David Hill had mentioned, you know, Pat was instrumental behind the scenes, and then Jerry was the guy getting the message out. But
I want me some glory hole.
But you know, the fact that they bucked the trend of the old school Art Modell owners and all those guys that wanted nothing to do with Fox. You know, Pat Bowlen has been credited by Ebersol as really being the spearhead of Sunday Night Football, which is, you know, it's the most popular TV show on the planet. So, yeah, certainly Pat deserves to be in. There's no question about that. And it'll be, I can't imagine the subcommittee not putting him in right now.
Yeah, it's time to make this thing right. It's time, it's past time to get Pat Bowlen into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But Stink, when you mention, you know, hey, we understand the guys leading the charge and maybe, you know, the guys behind the scenes more. It'll take some time. Isn't this what the committee is supposed to get right? Isn't this what the football nerds and the guys mm-hmm. who kind of protect the Hall of Fame? We know players have to wait to get in. Terrell Davis waited to get in. You know, Terrell Owens, we're dealing with that mess right now. But isn't it their job to get this right from day one? They know how this league was built, and they know right. that the DNA of Pat Bowlen, the imprint, is forever etched in this league.
Yeah, there, you know, I mean, you would hope, but again, you know, it's always easy. It's always, to me, it's always just easier. You know, it's why, and I know you do an unbelievable job in the draft, but it's why there's so many mistakes that are still made in the draft, because too many evaluators get enamored by what they see on the talent. Why? Right. You see it all the time.
Right.
You see guys that are like, wait, dude, the guy doesn't make any plays. Yeah, but he just is so athletically gifted. And if we could just get him, like, you're not going to just get him to make plays if he doesn't make plays, you know?
Right.
But we still get fooled by that. And every one of us is guilty. Like, every one of us sees talent and then goes, okay, wait a minute. That's like, that talent is so off the chain. If he can just harness it a little bit. And, you know, unfortunately, I think that that's where the majority of mistakes are made in the evaluation process. And I think the same thing for the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's just easy to see numbers. It's really hard to see, you know, it's really hard to see intangible stuff, especially for people who aren't, you know, in that world.
Everyone gets Jay Cutler'd from now and again. And I'll explain, because remember when Cutler came out, it was always about the arm. Like, look at this arm. And then when you did some digging, you're like, well, wait a second, he never won at Vandy. That doesn't matter. Like, look at his arm. Jay right. Cutler had the big arm. Yeah, but he never won. He almost beat Tennessee once. Don't worry about it. He's fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's fine. No. It would be fine if this league and the Pro Football Hall of Fame finally got it right and finally got Pat Bowlen into the Hall of Fame. They're going to meet on August 23rd. So the subcommittee, do we have to start a hashtag? I mean, do we have to do that? Like, what can we do? What can Broncos country do, to help get this thing done finally?
I would hope they wouldn't have to do anything. I mean, obviously, maybe they do. Maybe they got to be out there, out in front and just reminding everybody, you know, with all the social media hashtags and all that kind of stuff. But you would hope they wouldn't have to remember or do anything because, yeah, it's the right thing to do. This league would not be what it is had it not been for Pat Bowlen's vision. And of course the Broncos certainly wouldn't be what they are without Pat Bowlen's vision and without his commitment, to winning. So, I mean, I think it's pretty much a no-brainer, but, I always say the NFL where common sense isn't always so common.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the problem that you have.
The NFL, where they often succeed in spite of themselves. So get this right and get this done. By the way, something better than a hashtag, about 3 Super Bowl championships. How about that? But,
yeah.
And by the way, Stink, I know everyone, you know, across this great world of ours going nuts over France's win. Well, I'll tell you this. Don't ever lose the fact that America has won every Super Bowl ever played. So take that, kickball fan.
Yeah. Good call.
It's America. What a Gronk, Lindsey Vonn, Ronda Rousey all have in common. This story's got some teeth. It's in Morning Brew next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What? Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
This ball hit a long way to center field. Did he clip it? Way back. Ball game over. Head to the All-Star game. Trevor Story. What a way to finish the first half.
What a way. Colorado Rockies, AT&T Sports Network on the call. And 51-45 heading into the All-Star break now. And Stink, people wonder, can the momentum continue for your Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's obviously, here's the good news, is that they're in this thing. They're in the thick of this thing. They are, what, a couple games out, 2 games behind. The Dodgers, a half game out of Arizona, 8-2 in their last 10. So on a 5-game winning streak, they've got great momentum. And they've got, you know, some great players with Blackman and Arenado and Trevor Story and all these things. And it comes down like it always does. It comes down to pitching. And if John Gray can just do what he did in his start the other day, just be, what was it, 5 hits and 7 innings and, you know, whatever, how many strikeouts he had, but, you know, didn't walk anybody, kept himself out of trouble, had a real strong performance. If he can just have those type of performances without the mental lapses, you know, without the, oh, I walked 2 guys and then I gave up a hit and I've got one of those, you know, somebody hung a crooked number on me 1 inning. He's got to be able to manage those situations. If he manages those situations with what Anderson is doing, Anderson gave up 4 hits in the first inning, gave up 2 runs. And then I think he gave up 1 hit the rest of the game in his 6 innings of work. Like, that's the kind of mental preparation or the mental toughness you need. And, you know, Freeland gives you that same thing. If John Gray could do that, you'd have 3 top-notch, like, really good starters on the, you got a chance.
Is baseball the most difficult sport to maintain momentum?
Yeah, that's a, Yeah.
That's a big one, right?
Yeah, they always say momentum is just as good as your next day's starting pitcher. So it is, there's no question that it is tough, but they are, you know, they are responding. I'm good for them. They're responding and they're doing a great job.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I wish he would go because I really believe, and I told him this too. I said, T.O., I may be dead and gone. I said, but I believe when you're 70 years old, you'll look back, maybe even sooner, and say, man, you know, I wish I would have went. But, you know, no matter what, I still stick by him. You know, I support him. He's in the Hall of Fame, well deserving of it. Should have been in first time.
You're seeing your division now. There's Eric Dickerson talking about Terrell Owens and his Hall of Fame boycott. You hear Michael Irvin and others siding with the Hall of Fame over T.O. Stink, where do you sit in on this conversation?
I don't know what you want. You know, you're saying now that you're standing up for guys that had a wait. Hey, man, this is one of the greatest honors. It's the greatest honor any football player can have bestowed upon him. You're in the Hall of Fame, and there are plenty of guys who had to wait a lot longer than you. Your own class, Jerry Kramer, guy waited 5 decades for crying out loud, and he was a great, great player. So I don't know who appointed you, you know, the grand poobah of making a statement, but, you know, I really don't know that a whole lot of people have a lot of respect for the statement you're making. It's an honor. And there are plenty of players that are better than you that had to wait longer. So, you know, whatever. I mean, that's your prerogative. But I tend to agree with most of the guys. I'd side with the Hall of Fame. And I think that over time, he'll look at this as a huge mistake. And I don't know if that's the real reason. You know, you hear all kinds of things about how the expense and the cost and no team wants to stand up and pay for them. You know, I mean, that's ultimately... whether that's true or not, you know, perception becomes reality, and that's kind of your legacy. And that's sad.
Next for the Morning Brew.
And, of course, the man with the basketball, LeBron James, who backs in on Steph Curry, gets to the foul line, rolls right around to the basket, puts it in, left fouls him, and LeBron has a chance for the three-point play.
There's Cavs Radio with the LeBron highlight. LeBron get a warm reception from Lakers Summer League game and the fans in attendance, and so much so that the $500 Lakers shorts that he was wearing immediately sold out. So there you go, LeBron James and the LA effect in full effect already.
Wait, did you just say $500 Lakers shorts? $500
Lakers shorts.
You can buy a pair of shorts that cost $500.
They say Lakers across the crotch.
You have got
to behave.
We're in trouble. We are in deep, people, we're in deep trouble. You spend $500 on Lakers shorts. My Lord.
Yeah, LeBron's selling shorts at a summer league game, and LeVar Ball can't sell those grandpa sneakers.
Well, he sold some of them. So, I mean, but, well... We got a lot of disposable income.
What's the most you've ever spent on a pair of shorts?
Oh, well, see, I'm probably not the right guy to ask. Because, not that I spend a lot of money on shorts, because I don't. But my wife just buys stuff, and then she lays it out there. And then when I come home, she's like, there's a bunch of stuff on the bed. Try it on. Tell me what you like, what you don't like. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I like these. So my wife is the one that spends the money and lays it out, and then I don't really go to the store.
You just put them on and wear them and look awesome.
Yeah, I just put them on. Exactly. Put them on. Hey, I like these. They fit. All right, we're good. That's how lazy I'm. Just, I don't know if that's lazy or that's just my wife's efficiency. I'm going to just say, I'm going to go on the other side of that. That's just my wife being incredibly efficient and taking care of me.
Well, now you need to get some shorts made with, like, a green chili logo on the crotch. If that's the way things are going, you know,
yeah,
little advertisement, you know?
The sad thing is, if I'd sold those for $500, I'd make more in short sales than I do in green chili sales.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Marcel, this isn't a drill, buddy. You got real sharks here. It's time to get the guns, and it's time to shoot some fish.
Here on Eden, there are no guns.
You got an American life at stake.
Well, Gronk, Aaron Rodgers, Lindsey Vonn, Shaq, Mark Cuban, and Ronda Rousey all are helping out with Shark Week, July 22nd to 29th. And, well, every time I hear something about a fish, then I I was thinking you and ballers stink.
Oh, yeah.
Because what do you want to do?
You want to fish?
Or yeah.
Around?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what you think about. Yeah, Shark Week is incredible, right? What did Tracy Morgan say in 30 Rock? Live every week like it's Shark Week?
Yeah.
Every week of your life like it's Shark Week?
It's a great line. You're going to need a bigger potion.
It's a great line. Shark Week is great. As a matter of fact, I was on the plane flying from Seattle to L.A. yesterday and watched some Shark Week. Amazing. Just amazing killing machines, those dang things.
You're not a nervous flyer then? Because doesn't watching Shark Week make you, like, nervous? Or maybe it's just me. I'm scared of the water. I don't know.
No, it doesn't. No, I'm pretty, flying doesn't bother me.
You're fine? You're fine with that?
Yeah, I'm fine. I watched, what was the Denzel Washington movie where he was the drug addict pilot? Flight. Yeah, I watched Flight on a flight. Where it's crashing the plane and everything, yeah. Doesn't bother me.
That's probably not advisable. Speaking of not advisable, should these pro athletes be swimming with sharks? I mean, you have stuff in your contract. Don't play basketball, all these sorts of things. Like, but Shark Week's okay?
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't say in your contract because nobody thinks you're dumb enough to do it. Do not swim with sharks on Shark Week. What could happen? Hey, what could possibly go wrong?
Right. Shark Week. It's just made for TV, right?
That's right.
They're actors.
They're pretty calm.
What's my motivation?
Yeah. You are hungry. Motivation is starving.
Yeah, that's a wrap for the Morning Brew. We bring it to you each and every morning right here on Schlereth and Evans. And when you look at Aaron Rodgers, who is participating and helping out with Shark Week, he wants to play into his 40s with Case Keenum at 30. What does this mean for his future with the Denver Broncos? And how long could he be the Broncos franchise quarterback? We discuss next. Well, you've got Aaron Rodgers coming out and saying that he wants to play into his 40s. We're watching Tom Brady and the beautiful cleft chin playing in his 40s right now. Case Keenum is 30, stink. How much longer, and if things work out for the Broncos, could this set up the Broncos for a decade with Case Keenum as their starter?
Yeah, I mean, he's still on a prove-it-to-you contract. You know, I know it's $18 million, but remember, Mike Glennon signed a $18 million contract and then got cut. So,
right.
You know, this is the NFL, and there's some funny money involved in that. But I tend to believe that Case Keenum is more the quarterback that we saw last year. And, of course, I have a different reference point because, I mean, I've called games on ESPN Radio that Case Keenum started in, and being that I've covered this league from a national perspective, you know, I've seen his games and watched him progress and watched him mature and watched him grow up and watched him compete his butt off. And he's obviously gotten better, and he had a much better team around him last year. But, you know, I've always been pretty impressed with Case Keenum and what he's been able to accomplish thus far in his career on some pretty bad Rams teams. And, you know, and I reference this all the time. Remember, Nick Foles, everybody's, you know, he's the golden boy right now, right? Everybody's excited about Nick Foles. And, you know, he left Philadelphia. They let him go after he went 27-2, you know, 27 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. And next thing you know, you find yourself starting, for the Rams and essentially runs you out of the league. And yet Case Keenum was able to survive that. You know, and survive Nick Foles and survive, you know, a first round draft choice in Jared Goff and kind of survive that. He was going to retire and then he goes to Kansas City for a rehab year and then goes out to Philadelphia and does what he does last year. So, I tend to look at Case Keenum probably through a little bit different prism than a lot of people, you know, where they just like, well, it was only 1 year. It was 15 games. I'm like, no, he's been doing this for a long time. And last year obviously was the most efficient year, but he actually had a decent team around him. The Rams, that team was bad, you know, offensively. Defensively, they've always had it, you know, good defensive front seven. I mean, they've had a good defense for years, but offensively they were bad. And they had, you know, a bad scheme, bad players, bad draft picks, bad free agent signings, you know, just bad.
That's some 7 or 9 BS. That's what Jeff Fisher would say. Right. And by the way, they put a first round tender on Case Keenum. Like, this isn't out of nowhere. Look at his college career, where he set shattered records all the time. Throwing for 5,000 yards was just a thing for him at the University of Houston. I get it. I get it. David Klingler, Andre Ware. But here's the thing. You mentioned Mike Glennon, and it's a very important stink to bring this up. NFL scouts are terrified of the 2019 QB draft class. The Broncos did not draft a quarterback this year. Next year's class, okay, you got Drew Locke, you got Jarrett Stidham, Hebert, the Oregon kid. Like, all right, there's a few names, but it's not like this year's class was stacked with QBs in that first round. Do the Broncos actually believe more in Case Keenum than we can even imagine? Because I know that good teams always look at future draft classes. Like, what's coming down the pike? What's next? The Broncos know this quarterback class this next year in 2019 is not great, and yet they still didn't draft one, and yet they still, you know, are putting all of their chips. Case Keenum needs to work out more than ever before, because the Bears, yeah, they had Mike Glennon, but they also drafted Mitchell Trubisky.
Right. Yeah, there's no question, and you would know next year's draft class a heck of a lot better than I would know next year's draft class. But,
oh, yeah.
But, You've put your eggs. I guess I would ask you two questions. One, how much of it is you've put your eggs in all these baskets, and how much of it is have you basically pumped the brakes on? Hey, we're going to microwave Paxton Lynch. I mean, how much belief do you think there still is in an opportunity for him to play here?
Less than 10%.
So you think because I think you know the coaching staff. I would be very shocked if they had belief, but I still wonder if management. Because they, you know, with John Elway and some of the scouts and stuff, how much they still believe, how much they think that maybe, you know, maybe that he can turn a corner, and you think it's less than 10?
Yeah, I just don't
from
see
management
this.
As well as coaching staff?
Hey! Management meaning John Elway?
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little bit higher. Okay. I'll say that. But I don't think they should be doing that. If they are in fact, and D-Mac had brought this up, like, this is all about Paxton, the Case thing. Like, let's not gloss over Case Keenum and what he's done. And I don't agree with D-Mac and who was saying, like, oh, this move's all about Paxton. They're still developing Paxton. No. Find your guy. Because at the end of the day, no matter how they find their guy, get Case Keenum, whatever. And they tried to trade for Case Keenum, by the way. The Rams wouldn't let him go. Again, this Case Keenum thing isn't new. Like, just find the guy. Case Keenum is your guy.
Right. As opposed to continuing to look for somebody else. Find your guy and help your guy. And you know, I think the other thing that we have to understand, and this will be interesting how camp goes and how Case Keenum plays and how this offense, you know, how Billy Musgrave calls this offense, what is the identity of this offense, all these different things that we always talk about. But it'll be really interesting for me to see kind of that development and that kind of, this is what we're going to be and actually adhering to it, as opposed to last year where we talked about, you know, running the ball and we talked about some of the things that we're going to do, but really never adhered to it or stuck with it or developed that identity. So it'll be interesting to see how Case Keenum progresses in that and, you know, and how much they, you know, how much, like, how much is this all, it's all you, we're all in on you. And how much is there ever a feeling that we're like, we're all in, and you know, we're with you kind of like, I'm with you all the way, as opposed to like most coaches are, I'm with you win or tie.
Right.
Right. And you know, if you go in with the attitude of I'm with you win or tie, and you're still trying to figure out a way to get Paxton Lynch up to speed, I don't know that ends well.
No, the Broncos are all in with Case Keenum. And finally, Stink, finally, after 2 years of just a hot mess, they've committed. They've committed to one guy. Stick with that one guy. Don't worry about the backup. The backup will be the backup, whatever.
Well, that's what you, I mean, ultimately, that's what you have to do. You gotta, you know, and I've always been one of those guys, competition, just let them compete, let them, you know, because it's good at every other position. It's great. And just watching the last 2 years here, I'm just like, wow, it just felt like it was so mishandled. You know, the whole competition thing last year just felt like a debacle and the whole thing is just felt, it just, like I said, it's felt mismanaged.
Stinks got the feels this morning. You're going to clear the air next.
Yes, I am. We'll talk a little bit about Pat Bowlen and why I hope this subcommittee votes him in, because he certainly, as we all know, is very deserving.
Well, let's get that done as Stink clears the air is next on The Fan.